My folks were in the habit of going up north to Rhinelander, Wisconsin every other summer. They rented a cabin up there. And that's right up near Lake Superior. A beautiful place, but kind of wild. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the North Woods of Wisconsin, let me tell you. And anyway, as I said, I was a kid and around 12, and there was this dock going out into a lake that was our cabin was just a few feet from the shore. And so I was just out there enjoying the evening. And I think my folks were somewhere like playing cards up in the clubhouse. And all of a sudden, all of the typical night sounds you'd hear in rural Wisconsin, just quiet, nothing. And it kind of, you know, that in and of itself makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And so I felt like something strange was going on. And then I heard this wind, but none of the trees, or trees all around behind me, none of them were reacting to the wind. And okay, this is getting seriously creepy. And then all of a sudden, I saw this black form rise up over the horizon across the other side of the lake. And I mean, this wasn't a huge lake. This was, I think it was called Moen Lake, M-O-E-N Lake, if you want to look it up. And anyway, it like rose up over this and it looked like a giant black human form. Enormous. I mean, it blotted out the sky, the stars. And it appeared like there were these two little red eyes somewhere at the top of it. And it was like, if you were like an ant and someone stepped over your anthill, that's what this was like. And first one giant leg and then the other giant leg, and it was gone. The wind stopped and all the sounds of crickets and frogs or whatever started up again. And I had just about lost it. I mean, I'd never seen any. I mean, I had that other experience, which I think I'll talk about last time on Halloween, but this was enormous. And so I was pretty freaked out. I ran into the house and kind of, you know, waited for my folks to come home and everything got back to normal. But again, all of these things, it's like they touch you. They touch you in a spiritual sense. And unless you know how to be cleansed by the power of Christ, it kind of leaves a stain on you that can grow and draw you into more and more darkness. And of course, that's what happened to me.
Talking about spiritual encounters, I want to get into a story that happened, I think, when you were in college around a haunted chapel or something like that. It's, I think, one of the most important things that got you into the occult. So can you explain what happened and what that whole incident consisted of?
Well, yeah, I was, I think I was either a freshman or a sophomore. This was Loras College here in Dubuque. And we were at a Halloween party. And there was this upperclassman who claimed to be an expert on the occult. And he was there, and we all knew him. We kind of looked up to him because he was, you know, an upperclassman and real smart. And he said, "Hey, it's Halloween night. Let's go do a seance." And of course, I knew what that meant, but I only had a vague understanding of it. And of course, I didn't know it was like a demonic doorway. So I and like three or four other friends, he said, "I understand. In the basement of the, it was called Christ the King Chapel on the campus, that this, the wife of a very prominent donor was buried in the basement of the chapel." And that, as you may know, is somewhat common in Catholic churches. They will have some prominent individual. In Europe, it's more likely to be kings or noblemen or something like that, buried in the basement underneath the altar of the church. And so he said, let's go and try and call this woman up from the grave, you know, do a seance. And it happened that I was the music librarian, so I had a key to get into the music department after hours because it was locked, you know. And so we all filed in there. And you got to understand, this place, there was like this hallway that had two or three piano practice rooms. And then at the end of the hallway was these double doors. And behind the double doors was this tomb. And there were actually two, one for her and then one for when her husband passed away. And he was still alive. And they were locked, these double doors. And I did not have a key for that. So anyhow, we all sat down on the floor in this hallway, and it was pitch black. Once we turned, I mean, we're in a chapel in the basement. There were no windows, so it was like as black as could be. And we're holding hands. We're all holding hands. And he's doing his seance thing, you know. I'm not going to say the name of the woman, but he's calling her name. And, you know, please, you know, give us a sign that you are here. You know, kind of, if you've ever seen seances on TV or whatever, it's kind of like that. We're all just sitting around kind of waiting. And, then, you know, there was some tension in the air. And all of a sudden, these two big oak doors that were behind him, because we were in a circle and he happened to be facing away from the doors, and we were all holding hands, they started going bum, 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 bum like that, like someone was banging on the door from the inside. And it just scared the living daylights out of us. And so we ran like crazy out into the night. And I remember my heart was just going like crazy. And it seems as though from that moment onward, somehow or other, we awakened something. Because nothing like that, this college is old. I mean, there are buildings that were used as hospitals in the Civil War. That's how old it is. And this particular building isn't particularly old, but there's several hauntings going on in the lore of this college. But this was really something. And I don't know how much further you want to get into it, but after that, there were all these different weird paranormal things that would happen. Again, to kind of cement for me and some of my friends the reality of the paranormal world, which is, of course, what the devil wants. And so, for example, we'd be in there, and all of a sudden we'd hear somebody playing the piano. And we'd go and open the door, because there was not supposed to be anybody in there at that time, and the room was empty. Another time, I was doing recording work on a tape recorder in the head of the music department's office. And when I played the tape back, this very haunting song that was from a movie at the time, the Quiller Memorandum, it was a spy movie, but the song was Wednesday's Child. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's an English nursery rhyme. It's, let me see, Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is a child of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child has to work for a living. But the child that is born on the Sabbath day is good and wise and fair and gay. And of course, it means gay as in happy, not the way we use the word now. And that's an old English, you know, nursery rhyme. And the idea is if you're born on a certain day, you know, you're this way. And anyway, that was kind of weird. And we'd hear this melody quite frequently. And finally, there was a thing that happened where I was there over summer school. And that was when all the nuns would descend for their continuing education. And this nun went into the music department because she heard this piano playing. And she walked in to the room. Then there was this elderly woman standing there, kind of sort of a typical matronly looking old woman. in a red, pardon me, a green satin dress and a black sweater. And she said, well, what are you doing here? And the woman vanished. And we found out later, because this woman's portrait was in the library of the campus. It was this wife of this, you know, guy who had donated so much money to college. So, and we found out that she was born on Wednesday, February 14th. I can't tell you the year now. It's been like, this is half a century ago. So anyway, then another thing happened where, and again, this just shows the reality of the demonic. I was in a rock band, and we got permission from the school to practice in this auditorium that was across from the music department, all of this being in the basement underneath the chapel. And we had learned by me, we and other people in the music department, that you never wanted to go into that music department without the lights being on after dark. You just didn't, because weird things would happen. And anyway, what happened that night is that there was this one guy who was kind of a clown in our band. I mean, we were all, you know, like, I was like 19 or something. And he said, oh, I'm going to go in there. And I said, don't go in there. You're going to be sorry. He said, no, I'm going to go in there. You know, I'm not as, you know, kind of like the Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghost, you know. And so he went. It was double doors for the sake of sound, you know. So he went in the one door, went in the other door. And literally within a second, he came flying out of both doors, flew across the room and smashed into the wall and was almost knocked out. And after that, nobody went into those rooms, except for one exception. And that is that later on, toward the end of this whole thing, Iowa gets a lot of tornadoes, you know, tornado warnings and all of that. And there was a tornado warning around 5 p.m. as it was getting dark. And the power went out all over the campus because of the high winds. And the dean of men called me and said, why don't you go down and make sure the music department is locked so nobody fools around or does any mischief. So anyway, I go down there with my friend, and we're just standing kind of guard outside the door. And there was a little bit of light coming in from the end of the hallway from the outside door. And so we're standing there, and all of a sudden, we hear the organ play inside of the chapel, playing this melody. And anyway, and you could probably go on YouTube and, you know, search for Wednesday's Child's Line. You could probably hear this. It's just this kind of a haunting melody. And anyway, so we're standing there, and like the hair's standing up on the back of my neck, and along comes the dean of men. And he says, what's going on here? I told you not to let anybody in the music department. And we said, well, Father, nobody's in the music department. And he said, well, I'm hearing somebody play the organ in there. And I said, Father, it's an electric organ. And he said, oh, this is nonsense. He had one of those big plastic flashlights like they take out on boats or camping or whatever. I'm going to go in there and investigate this. So he went into the room, opened the double doors, and as soon as he walked into the room, his flashlight exploded. And it was almost funny. He came out, and I don't even know the type of flashlight, but it has a handle, you know, and there's this big battery in it. And he's standing there holding the handle, and he was as white as a sheet. He didn't say a word. He just locked the door. So anyway, to bring this whole thing to a close, I decided that I kind of started this with this. This guy had since graduated, the upperclassman. So I was going to try and finish it. By this time, I started dabbling in the occult. And there was this book that I had gotten called The Greater Key of Solomon. And it's what's called a grimoire, a magical workbook full of spells. And it has exorcisms in it. And I mean, I knew what an exorcism was. You know, this would be like 3 or 4 years before the movie came out. But so I said, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to read this ritual over this lady's tomb and cast whatever is doing this out. And my friend said, if you do that, you're going to get killed or something, you know. So I said, no, I'm going to do it. So all my friends were standing outside because there was, okay, there was like, the tomb was in this like hemispherical area, like a tower that went up. And above it were the ranks of the pipe organ, you know. And so they were standing outside waiting for something horrible to happen to me. They weren't willing to come in with me. So I got a credit card. I slipped the lock, you know how you do. And I walked in there. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go for it. And I actually stood on this marble, you know, tomb thing and started reading this ritual. Nothing happened. And I thought, well, okay, you know, I went and locked the door and left. And that was the end of it. And so that, and you see, this is how the devil works. That got me to the point that I thought, okay, magic is real. Magic works, because this was not a Christian book. This was an occult book. And again, you can probably find it on, you know, like Amazon, or what it's called, The Greater Key of Solomon. And so that made me realize, okay, ceremonial magic, whatever you want to call it, is the real deal. And it has power over the supernatural world. And so that got me deeper and deeper into the occult.
Yeah, I thought that was important to talk about this, because it's kind of the introduction to why you got into all these things. Just a few clarification points in case people missed it. You said it was an electric organ. The reason why you said that, because the power was shut off. So an electric organ would not have been able to work at all, even if someone was in there. And, you know, it gave you the confidence that this was real. So you already dabbling a little bit, but it got you deeper. I think you and your wife became mediums afterwards. There's so many things that, you know, we have to talk about. We probably have to skip over that part. But in the first interview that we did together, you talked about having this dream of being a priest and holding on to the dream of being a priest. Eventually you did become a priest, and Satanist at the same time. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff. If you guys are struggling to follow with the timeline, you're probably going to have to go watch part one. But can you explain how you went from, you know, believing that the occult and magic had power to, you know, becoming Satanist and then also becoming a priest at the same time? Like, how does that even work?